Hey y'all, DJ Louie here, just dropping a preview of our latest Pop Pantheon All Access episode, which is a conversation between myself and Julie Hite about Kacey Musgraves' new record, Deeper Well. We're diving into all of the different facets of this album, from the music to how it's positioned in Kacey's catalog and how it's all functioning and working to serve as a course corrective, perhaps for Starcrossed, her last record, and how it's advancing Kacey's narrative forward. If you enjoy this snippet and you want to hear the rest of the conversation, you can subscribe at patreon.com/poppantheon or by clicking the link in the show notes of this episode, or now you can subscribe directly in Apple Podcasts for all of our bonus content audio only. So without further ado, here is a snippet of my conversation with Julie about Kacey Musgraves' Deeper Well. What were you hoping for with this record? I mean, what were you maybe hoping for as a fan before you'd even heard any of this music? Like, were you just hoping for like a back to roots album? Like, is there anything in particular that you had expectation wise heading into this era?
I was bearing in mind a few things, you know, one that she is definitely an artist who does not like to repeat herself, and she really likes to feel like she is growing, progressing, evolving. I mean, it seems that's true for her as a human being and as an artist, an album maker, a songwriter, a shaper of her sound. So I was thinking of that. And then I was also thinking that Same Trailer, Different Park and Golden Hour were both so revelatory because they were so unexpected. You know, she was giving us her own versions of these templates that didn't really exist. And that's a difficult thing to repeat. You know, I mean, I have faith that she can and will find new ways to do that, especially as we get to see her continue to age and evolve as an artist in the spotlight. But I was kind of wondering whether she would give us an album that was some sort of clear statement about her relationship to genre. You know, I thought somehow she would be maybe trying to spell that out. I wasn't assuming that that would feel like trying to get back to what she was doing on her first two albums. I mean, I didn't have a specific assumption around that, but I just thought maybe it would be her trying to show us, no, this is how I relate to country now, or this is how I relate to pop now, or whatever. And I guess she's done that in the way that she often communicates, which is in that very kind of cool-headed, low-key, showing us it's more complicated. When you think back to the times that she's been characterized as this rebel, as though she was making in-your-face statements, you know, I laugh whenever I see her described as a fiery rebel, because that doesn't ring true to me at all. I've noticed that the actual music that she's given us on the album and how she's talking about it, or kind of declining to talk about her relationship to country, as though she's not super interested in sussing that out or saying, I'm pushing against this, or she just seems a little bit over answering those kinds of questions. And I feel like she did this work with the first two albums, where she was really showing what she found constricting and pushing out the walls a little bit for herself. And then she really did that with Golden Hour, and really did that with Starcrossed, like you said. And now she's created all this space for herself, and she's sort of drawn her comfortable circle to exist in within all the space that she's created. You know, she's shown us this fully fleshed out, intimate existence and perspective within all of this space that she's created. She's kind of drawn us back into music that's smaller on the surface, but also contains so much space, full worlds within it, within these songs.
Absolutely. I do want to talk about this new music now, and to set us up, and sort of in response to what you were saying, you know, I was thinking so much about this project just in the context of the broader conundrum faced by pop stars at the moment, which is the sort of decline of monoculture and do you move your career forward while also sort of like reckoning with the fact that having a sort of like Taylor Swiftian crossover out of one space and like into the broadest possible space seems like less and less achievable, and maybe less and less like even desirable, because it seems as though what I think most of this most successful contemporary crop of pop stars have realized, and if you haven't realized it, you're probably flopping/struggling at the moment, is that like pop stardom is niche. period, which is, yeah, it seems like a contradiction in terms, but like, I feel like a lot of the most exciting pop stars and a lot of the most like successful seeming pop stars have kind of realized that like trying to like push too broadly is not even a worthwhile endeavor anymore. I mean, that used to be an imperative. So like an album like Starcrossed to me strikes me as a dated way of capitalizing on your crossover moment and sort of going like, how do I get bigger? How do I push this into a bigger space? And I think what the world reacted to in that record was like, no, like actually like that's not really what people want. Like it's actually to drill more idiosyncratically down towards the people that like you seems to be like what I think a lot of the most effective modes of pop stardom these days are about. And we can talk about Lana Del Rey as a template setter for that approach. We can talk about like artists such as Billie Eilish being like great examples of, you know, newer practitioners in this way. But I think generally speaking, pop stardom is about feeding the people that love you deeply more of you, and it's less about like how do I like have a four quadrant success.
Yeah, leaning into the particulars, leaning into the distinctness.
Exactly. And I think that was maybe a bit of the fumble of Starcrossed, is she was attempting to sort of like operate in a 1999 mode of pop stardom, which would have like been like, how do we keep getting bigger and more people and more radio and more whatever, bring more people into the tent. And what I'm happy to say about this record is I think this serves as a course correction in that way, in a really nice way, in the sense that it doesn't feel like she's going backwards. Like that was what my fear. My fear was like she was gonna kind of run scared from the ambition and sort of gone like, let me go back to making music that everybody is familiar with for me. But I think what this record has done very well is, as we sort of talked about, refocused the music on her truest essence, on the, and like on what her true fans really care about, but while also doing so in a mold that doesn't feel backpedaling. Like it doesn't feel like she's going back to something that we used to know. It feels like she's continuing to evolve aesthetically and like finding new vessels for her persona and for her lyrical approach. So this music, I think, threads a very important needle, which is that like it fixes a lot of the problems of Starcrossed without feeling like she went running scared from what that album represented. And I think that that's a really relieving aspect of Deeper Well for me.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, really, you know, we've always been able to see how she has indicated the breadth of her stylistic interests and the breadth of her musical appreciation. I mean, back when she was collaborating with artists like Miguel and Troye Sivan, Kuko, you know, so really when you think about who has she been duetting with more recently or spending time with more recently, and, you know, artists like Noah Kahan, Zach Bryan, a cold shoulder, closing time. You were begging me to stay till the sun rose. She presented a Trailblazer Award to the band Nickel Creek at the Americana Awards last fall. I mean, that bluegrass schooled pop rock string band, she's taking them on tour. You know, all of those, I think, were significant clues about the different sides of her stylistic leanings that she had been or wanted to lean into this time. I mean, we saw that teaser during the Super Bowl, all of that pastoral imagery. Yeah. And then when I began to hear her talking about describing the experience of recording this album in New York in Electric Ladyland, and she was invoking all of this scene setting of the urban folk revival in the Northeast and that kind of thing. I mean, it certainly doesn't end there. That is not where the reference points end at all.
In fact, the fact that this was recorded in New York is very dissonant to me, because this record is the epitome to me of like being in the woods or like lying in a field of grass and like staring at a big expansive sky. Like, I don't listen to this music necessarily and like have images of urban streets and concrete, but, you know, I think that was a very interesting part of the narrative. I guess my question is, first single, Deeper Well, title track, when you heard that, how did that serve as a mission statement? Like, what did that song sound like to you? And I guess thematically, like, what was she talking about and how was she talking about it? I guess more importantly for the Casey Project, because the way she addresses things is obviously incredible. incredibly distinctive. So like when that song came out, how did that set the scene more or less for this record, do you think?
Mission Statement is a good way to think of it. Like that's how I thought of it, more than just as a single in and of itself, because right. she's never really been a singles artist. But
no.
I heard that track as doing the work of kind of situating her right now. I mean, on one level, stylistically, this kind of temperate, contemporary folk, a reflective posture, finger-picking acoustic guitar, a little bit more naturalistic treatment of her voice. But also, she was telling us that she's renegotiating or has been renegotiating her relationships. And I kind of did...
That was just a preview. If you enjoyed that and you want to hear the rest of that episode, plus weekly bonus episodes of the show and so many more perks, you can subscribe at patreon.com/poppantheon. Or if you just want the audio only of these bonus episodes, you can subscribe directly in the Apple Podcasts app.